And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. Well, we climate activists are slowly becoming aware of the interconnection between money and climate change issues, that the economy and the finances that make our country run are somewhat at risk from the ravages of climate change. Since last November, with a new administration coming into office, there's been a bit of a sea change in terms of how climate issues in general are viewed by the U.S. federal government. But in particular, there's a track of discussion and ideas that have to do with how the federal government is working with big financial institutions and encouraging them to literally do the right thing as far as climate change goes. And because that's a discussion that requires a great deal of expertise, we are pleased to have with us today Veena Ramani, who is the Senior Program Director at the Ceres Accelerator. Welcome, Veena. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ted. How are you?
Good, good, good. Can you give me the short, maybe the tweet? I mean, what Ceres? Ceres is a nonprofit based here in Boston. Tell me, how do you come at? Why are we talking to you? Let me put it that way. What Ceres?
I think you're talking to me because Ceres works very closely and in some cases represents some of the largest companies and investors in the U.S. We work with companies, investors, and policymakers to help address some of the greatest sustainability challenges of our time, including climate change, the water scarcity, and human rights. And the reason you're talking to me is because for the past few years, my team and the Ceres Accelerator and Ceres writ large has really been marinating in the issue of the financial and systemic impacts associated with the climate crisis. So to define it really quickly, we all know that climate change poses financial risks to companies and investors. We know that sometimes those financial risks are so significant that they become material. For your audience, material risks are risks that are so significant that companies need to disclose them to their investors. Companies need to raise them up to their board, and it needs to be discussed at the board level. But the latest understanding about the climate crisis is that the risks are so significant that they pose a very threat to the stability of global financial markets, right? Sort of similar to what we're all dealing with right now in terms of the coronavirus pandemic. And when an issue poses a threat to financial market stability, it's called a systemic risk. When it's a systemic risk, it automatically becomes a part of the role of financial regulators charged with maintaining financial stability. And here we're talking about institutions like the Federal Reserve, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, insurance regulators, banking regulators, and oversight bodies like the Financial Stability Oversight Council that lives within the Treasury. And these are not institutions that you think about and sort of think climate change, right? But the reality is that because climate is not only an environmental issue, it's not only a social issue, it's not only the existential issue of our time, it's also a systemic financial risk. It also belongs in the mandate of these financial regulators, and these regulators should be taking action. That's what we at Ceres have been calling for, and I think that's why you're speaking to me.
That is a beautifully clear description. So tell me, given the fact that there's a new administration, new guys in Washington, and you have this background, Ceres has been doing this work, what's the state of play? I mean, what has changed recently? What things are going on? I mean, I will just put the word out there. Janet Yellen, I think, is the head of the
Treasury,
right? And there are new people. So that's an incredibly powerful position. Has she done anything good? I mean, tell me what changes has the Biden administration made that you would approve of, maybe stuff you don't approve of? Where are we?
Sure. So let me maybe start with where we were 10 months ago. So Ceres wrote a report in June of 2020 that looked at this issue and that called U.S. financial regulators to act on climate change. And at that point, I'll be honest, no one was doing anything much. But I'll have to say, we have seen a sea change in the attention being paid by U.S. federal and state financial regulators to this issue since November, right? And let me sort of take you through the storyline here. So the results of the election were clear in late November, early December. And, you know, like a week, 2 weeks after the election results were called and were clear, you saw the Fed issue its biannual financial stability report, which for the very first time included three whole pages that identified, that acknowledged that climate change was a stability risk and sort of noted that, you know, they were expecting to see climate change being integrated in, you know, they expected to see sort of more action from the regulatory community on climate change going forward.
So now, this is the Federal Reserve basically signaling to the regulators, you better get on the stick and start paying attention to this.
100%. And, you know, in combination with this financial stability report, you're starting to see acknowledgments actually come out around climate change from folks sitting on the Federal Reserve Board. Here, I really want to sort of call and shout out Lael Brainard, who is a governor on the Federal Reserve Board, who has consistently and certainly since November vocally noting that climate change is a systemic risk, and making a lot of announcements on what the Fed is starting to do. So the Fed has acknowledged that climate change is a systemic risk. They've acknowledged that they're starting to research the impacts of the nature of that risk in terms of their own mandate. But what they've also done is they've set up internal systems and structures. They've created a climate supervision council at the Federal Reserve Board level. They've also established a climate stability council at the federal level, at the Fed, to really start to pay attention to what these issues mean. So that combination of affirmation, research, but also just building that internal capacity to be able to address it in a robust manner in-house, I think has been great. The other institution where we're starting to see a real sea change in the way that climate change is being addressed, and you call this dead, is coming from the Treasury. So the Treasury is important for financial regulation because the Treasury houses this group called the Financial Stability Oversight Council, which until today has said zero about climate change. But just in the past 2 weeks, Janet Yellen has sort of said climate change is the existential issue of our time. And she said that climate change is going to be one of the Financial Stability Oversight Council's priorities going forward. And that's significant because of the role of the Financial Stability Oversight Council. It's not only to do research on financial stability issues, it's also to help other agencies in other regulatory agencies in the federal government coordinate with one another around climate change so they can play what we think is a really critical coordinating role so that regulatory agencies can learn from each other, but also they can ensure that no one is stepping on each other's toes, working on cross purposes. All of that happens when you have overlapping jurisdictions. And the third critical thing that's happened is that the Securities and Exchange Commission has gotten into the fray. Now, the Securities and Exchange Commission is a commission that is really responsible for making sure that investors get what they need to make sure that they are able to function within financial markets in a way that's efficient, in a way that's smart, and in a way that's fair. And one thing that invests, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, just to be clear, the SEC is what you usually think about in terms of stock market regularly, exactly. Right? That's where it touches people's retirement income kind of thing, right? The That's SEC, exactly. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason that the SEC is important is that they play a significant role on disclosure. And one of the things that the SEC could do is to make sure they could issue rules to ensure that companies, publicly traded companies, which are a part of the SEC's regulatory mandate, essentially issue comparable, consistent, and reliable climate change disclosures, which then investors are able to use to do their job better, to be better able to assess the risk exposure of companies they're considering investing in, and again, make choices about where their money essentially gets allocated, which then helps folks like you and me in terms of our own retirement funds, our own retirement incomes. That's the way this sort of plays out to, you know, what all of us feel on a day-to-day basis. So the SEC, which has not been the most active on climate change to date, has dramatically changed. They have a new acting chair, Allison Lee, who has, you know, she's hired folks, she's set up internal structures to make sure that the SEC starts to lean in more on overseeing how companies are currently disclosing their climate change performance. But she's also signaled that the SEC is going to issue new rules on climate change disclosure. And just again, a couple of weeks ago, she issued what we call a request for information, an RFI, sort of saying, look, we, the SEC, were thinking about issuing climate change disclosure rules. Here's a list of 15 companies, right? Companies, investors, academics, anyone who's interested, write to us. Tell us what you think smart rules should look like. And they're sort of going to take stakeholder input into account in developing these.
And this would then, this disclosure, they would take that input, but this is something that would end up sort of in the quarterly reports, the analyst calls that the, you know, pick your favorite company, Apple or Google or somebody has to report on their climate risk according to these uniform rules, right?
Right. So less quarterly calls, but absolutely, yes, quarterly and annual reports. Mm-hmm. So the rules for this is that I talked about materiality when talking about climate change. So the existing law is that when a risk is material, companies need to disclose it in their financial filings. But the decision on, you know, who decides what material is or not is left with companies. And also, you don't have any expectations on how companies should disclose material issues. The rules would really provide a lot of clarity there. And what's interesting, you just mentioned Apple, Ted. So here's some, you know, hot breaking news for you. Just this morning, and we are talking right now. Hang on, let me figure out when we're talking. We're talking on April 13th. Just this morning, Apple issued a statement saying that they welcome the SEC to issue rules for climate change disclosure. And they said, we think these rules should require disclosure of greenhouse gas emissions, scope 1, scope 2, scope 3. And this is amazingly significant because investors for years have been saying, we want more climate change disclosure rules because they need information for their investment analytics. But this is the very first example that I'm aware of a large publicly traded company calling for disclosure rules and then making the case that disclosure helps not just investors, it helps companies themselves. Because again, this is a systemic risk. We all function within capital markets, right? It's in everyone's best interest to understand not only their own risk exposure, to understand the risk exposure of anyone they touch, so that we can collectively chart a smart and informed path to a net zero future.
Wow, that's really, so I've just, the impression I'm taking from your discussion is that you are in a positive mood about the direction, at least conditionally, where things are going in the right direction in terms of financial, the interaction of financial systems in the climate crisis, right?
I mean, I'm definitely much more positive than I was a few months ago. I'll certainly say that. It's really a sea change. I mean, we have seen such momentum coming from the financial regulatory community, certainly in the 3 months since the, you know, again, we've seen signals coming up since the election, but it's been less than 100 days since the new administration took office. And we've certainly seen some very clear signals coming out of this constituency. That said, I work for an advocacy group working on climate change, right? So there's always a yes, but. So my sort of caveat here is that it's great to see regulators taking action. I will note that it's still just, while the major financial regulators have taken action, you know, there are many, many financial regulators who have not taken any action yet. That needs to change. I'll also say that the only action that's been taken so far is very, very basic. We've seen regulators affirm climate change risks. We've seen regulators start to do research. We've seen regulators start to hire staff. And these are all really critical, important, fundamental things for regulators to do. We need regulators to take that next step. We need them to start to activate climate change as a part of their existing mandate. To date, the only U.S. financial regulator that we've seen do that actually is the New York Department of Financial Services. 2 weeks ago, they issued proposed guidance for insurance companies in their jurisdiction to integrate climate change into their risk management, which is great. We need every financial regulator to do what the New York DFS has done and do it, to be honest, 2 days ago, right? We need to see this juggernaut move much, much, much faster, right? Because that's what is needed given the scale and the scope of what is coming before us.
This is great. We'll put up links to these various things in the blog. It'll be at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about the show, please send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. And Vina, let me ask, if someone wants to check out Ceres and all the good work you've been doing, what website should they go look at?
www.ceres.org. That's C-E-R-E-S.
Super, 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 super. You're listening to the show probably on your smartphone or mobile device using your favorite podcast distribution app. Please ask all your friends to listen to us on their iPhone using their podcast distribution apps. We want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Vina, this has been a fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Ted. This was really fun.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.